Welcome to the Coco Express, part of the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your host on the Coco Express is Aurelia Lyles. She's all about keeping it real. Great guests, interesting topics, so get on board. Listen, learn, live.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Coco Express Show for Saturday, January 26, 2013. As you know, this is the last Saturday in the month, and this is time for you, the best invention ever. So please allow me the opportunity to turn everything over to the You Crew. Thank you.
Welcome to You, the Best Invention Ever, featuring host Valencia Lyle Saunders, a show dedicated to inspiring you to invent something incredible, your life.
Good afternoon and happy new year. I know I'm late starting in the game, but you know, I'm here at the end of the month, so I get to say whatever I need to say to you at this time. And I want to say happy new year to everyone. And I hope you rang in happy new year the way you wanted to. So I am really excited to be back on the air in this, what I want to call, happy, mystical, lucky, surprising 2013. And for everyone who has had the flu, I want to say congratulations for getting better, because I had it and it was a misery. So, and for everyone who's going through it right now with the flu, I want you to get better as fast as you can, and I'm wishing you a speedy recovery. Well, it is January, and this January marks my first anniversary with You, the Best Invention Ever. And this is not a solo effort. This is definitely a team effort all the way. And I'd like to thank Aurelia Lyles, my executive producer, founder of the Coco Express Network, and my sister for having the vision of this idea. And she started this about 3 or 4 years ago. And I want to say I'm very proud of her for, you know, launching an idea and having it grow as it has. So she has, you know, initially created the Coco Express Show, which she still does several times days a week. And she's also turned us into a network. We have the Real Estate Straight Talk Show, which she wants to teach everyone how to get out there and live your dream of home ownership. And, you know, these shows have been very informative and fascinating and chock full of information that we are not privy to as the average Jane and average Joe. There's also Paradigm Shifters, and it's about life experience, how to go out there and live your dreams and giving you strategies. And there's me, You, the Best Invention Ever. And this has given me the opportunity to really interview some interesting people and to work with Suzanne Rust, who is my co-host off and on. You're the best ever, girl. Anyway, I want to say, you know, send a shout out to her. And when we do our panels, which is so fun and so informative, and I love doing them. And I do that with Kim Van Dorn, Steve, and Marilyn from the Paradigm Shifters Show, and we always have great guests. And I want to shout out to our PA, production assistant, Alex, Alexandria Lyles, who is such a great kid. Not a kid, she's a, you know, grown up lady now. So I just want to say thank you so very much for our listeners, because, you know, it's nothing, we're nothing without you. But I just want to say thank you to the Coco Express Network team. Anyway, Oh, and I also, this last year this time, my first guest was Ralph Roll. And Ralph Roll is a friend of mine. We work together. We hope to work together in the future. And he made this such an easy job for me and really inspired me to want to continue on. So I want to say thank you, Ralph, for making my first show such a great experience that it, you know, tricked me into thinking I can do it over and over again once a month. So kudos and thank you very much to everyone who has gotten me through a year of doing this. And let me tell you, folks, it is a lot of fun. Anyway, today I'm having Steve Parker, who is revisiting us. He's been on the show before, and I want to say he is so interesting, so chock full of information. Steve is a natural intuitive, and when those of us who are not familiar with that term, he's in the psychic realm. He hails from New Hampshire, and this is his second visit on You the Best. And we had, like I said, we had a great time last time. I just want to catch you up on where we were from last time. We touched on what I think were the two big questions for that afternoon. And one was your intuitive ability. And Steve says that we all have intuitive ability. And we can tap into that. And there are lots of ways to do that. Meditation, really kind of trusting your gut, your instincts about things, and the more you trust, the more they grow. So I thought, you know, that's good advice for anything, anybody, whether you, you know, want to be in the psychic realm or you just want to be someone who's in touch with what's going on around you and trusting yourself. The other question I had for him was about soulmates. We throw that term around like nothing, and I wanted to get his take on what a soulmate was. And, you know, I was surprised at his response, and it's broader than we think. Like, we only think of soulmates as in romantic mate. But Steve kind of looks at this, and I was surprised, is souls who have agreed to have an experience on Earth. So it may be a romantic experience. It may be a mother, you know, a parent-child experience. It may be, you know, mortal enemy experience, but it's two souls that have agreed to have an experience of some kind on this plane. And I, you know, that really kind of shifted my way of looking at, you know, relationships that I have in my life. So I thought that was really, you know, fascinating take on something we all see in a very narrow definition. Anyway, that being said, I want to reintroduce Steve Parker, and I want to start having some fun. Steve, are you with us?
I'm right here.
Hi!
You didn't think I was there.
I did it. I did it. I'm like, it's kind of quiet on the other end.
I can be quiet as a church mouse when I want to be.
I see. How are you?
Loaded question. I'll just answer it this simple. I'm fine and surviving the cold. We've had temperatures of 15 below zero and wind chill factors of like 25 below. But today it's a whopping 10 degrees out.
It's like summer, like spring. Oh, my God. Yeah, this cold is really, really brutal. Really, really brutal. Ugh. Wow. Anyway.
Well, by Tuesday or Wednesday, it's supposed to go up to 40 or 50 here. So,
oh my, it's a balmy. 40 or 50, considering.
And as you said before, the flu is rampant here, but I haven't had it, so I'm lucky.
Oh, good.
Unfortunate.
You don't want it. You don't want it, let me tell you. And I got the flu shot.
I think, you know, not that I'm trying to be a know-it-all, but I think that keeping the body as alkaline as possible, so avoiding things that are acid-producing. When you keep your body alkaline, it makes the body like a battery, and it's harder to catch colds, and it does make your immune system more resistant to diseases as they're floating around.
I'm going to work on being alkaline now.
You'll be a little battery.
I'm going to get a little battery, a little spark plug. Anyway, Steve, I've got so much stuff I want to chat about.
Okay.
You ready?
I am ready. I'm always pretty glib and gabby. So go ahead.
Anyway, like, okay, so we survived the Mayan calendar, which is good. So we're all here. We all made it through that. And now it's 2013, and I know lots of people have, there's all kinds of superstition around the number 13. And I kind of tend to think 13, I like to think of it as a more mystical number that's full of surprises. And, oh, good. And, you know, there's something around the corner that you don't expect. What do you think about this year? What are you feeling? Do you have any impressions about 2013?
Jumping off the diving board with your mention of the number 13, it has significance for me because in numerology, you would always add two digits, two numbers together. I was born on the 31st of the month, actually, the 31st of August.
Wow.
So if you add the 3 and the 1, it's a 4. So if you add a 13, a 1 and a 3, it's also a 4, and 4 is the earth, and 4 is sometimes a symbol of protection or need for grounding or practicality. But when you add the whole year up, 2013, it becomes a 6, which is actually a very loving energy. But I think it's an energy of taking spiritual energy and instead of floating around with it or being fearful, it's like direct application. It may sound crazy, and I don't go around just consciously thinking, you know, spiritual or psychic thoughts all the time. I'm a human being. I have a temper. I have a sense of humor. But when the January 1st rolled around, after just a few hours, it really felt like this is a year of direct action. This is a year that, you know, I can say for me, this is a year that if I start to procrastinate, everything starts to come unglued. And as long as I just directly apply myself and not worry, am I doing it right or doing it wrong? I don't mean to be brash and impolite or unkind to people, but I mean, as long as I go forward, put my best foot forward, but just act and just keep going. So I think it's a very direct year.
Mm.
I think it's a year of action.
So I think that's a powerful statement, considering that our country has been dragging its feet and not being direct. Is this the year we see some forward motion, you think?
I think it's a year when we need to see some forward motion, not just because we need it emotionally or we need the relief economically. I think we need it because we need to reset the dial, so to speak, on how we apply energy. There's been all sorts of, you know, this country has been governed, and here's where the internet in some ways becomes a negative thing. I'm not trying to down it because there's so many positive aspects, but it's become a country where opinions have become God. Everybody's opinion is now tantamount in many people's mind to them being a writer or a literary genius, where they can just throw out their statement and throw out their opinion, and that becomes their new law and their new, you know, operating standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what we're being called upon to do here is to back up, to take careful consideration, again, to be action-oriented, but with a conscience and with the idea that we need to get stuff done that is going to apply to all people, not just to ourselves. We don't need to just say, well, my opinion is this, therefore you can't step on, you know, you can't. I'm willing to compromise with people, you know, more than ever. I want to. I don't think it's going to work if I don't.
So this is kind of a year of team effort, teamwork, and people. Yes. Pulling for the common good or the higher purpose.
It has to be.
I think, yeah, because we've spent a lot of time in the other direction. Do you feel that when, like, this shift toward the team has come about because last year was such a pull toward the negative or the singular?
Yes, because I think last year was very divisive, and you had you had people squaring off, and you had, you know, this against this, or side against side, or everybody covetously holding on to, you know, this is where I stand, and I'm not going to change, and that can't continue anymore. It just, you know, that nothing's going to it will cause, you know, crime. It'll change anyway. Let's put it this way. If everybody crystallizes and holds on to their positions, then things will deteriorate. They'll fall apart, and then they'll regroup. But they'll regroup through destruction. And it doesn't have to be a destructive process. It can be a deconstructive process where we take out what we don't need and what isn't working and work together to put back in what is working. So I think the idea here is to get away from the oppositional forces and see what we can do collectively.
I think that's such a important point you just made, that when change is going to happen, it's up to you how it happens.
Yeah.
You know, it's either if you're forced or you go with the flow and go with the change and accept the change. But either way, change happens.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean things won't be complicated. It's not saying, essentially, when you get down just to, say, a point of light, it's a simple, direct thing. It's a simple, direct manifestation of spirit,
mm-hmm.
But in human, everyday, sort of slower, kind of slowed down energy, which is what we basically all are, is energy that seems to be separate. We're not as separate as people think. That's why it makes no sense for groups to go against groups, because I had a friend, she was born and raised on a kibbutz in Israel, and she's
mm-hmm.
a very spiritually minded person. But she scolded me and she said, no, that's not true. There were tribes, there were this. But beyond that, if you take it back to a central point, because I said something about, human DNA going back and originating in Africa, and she said, no, it doesn't all do that, because she was going from the idea that there are beings from other worlds that came down. And okay, fine, I entertain all that. I'm not arguing that point. I'm just saying that anything in manifestation, all of the physical realm, whether it has multi dimensions or anything that has form, anything that has a form aspect, has a core of a being, and being is dual. In this dimension, it's dual: male, female,
mm-hmm.
positive, negative.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is to work with the point that isn't dual, to help the duality not to merge and one become the other and lose their identity, so that they complement one another rather than polarize.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we're trying to do this year. I think that's the kind of the message for me anyway, is to not be so not to be so much in counterpoint and contrast and polarity with myself, to be as balanced as possible. That doesn't
mm-hmm.
mean I have to give up the two, the diversity of my nature. And no one's saying to throw diversity out, become this homogenous, one-pointed thing, not like a Twilight Zone episode where everybody's beautiful, so therefore there's no ugliness, therefore therefore everything
right.
is the same. I'm not saying that at all, just saying that to work with those opposites, because there's a balance point where they work beautifully.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It does. And that in itself is a challenge, because if you look at your everyday life, for us everyday people, and the people or the situations you find yourself in, there are challenging people. There are challenging situations.
Mm-hmm.
And to find a way to respect that challenge or that challenging personality and embrace it is really the challenge. To say there's something in here, in that personality, that can complement who I am, or I can complement them, and we can work it. That's a challenge.
Mm-hmm. It's a real challenge, and the way it can manifest is, it's as complex and myriad and multiple as there's some. As many people as there are on the planet at any given time, there are that many angles in which this can be approached.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you have identical twins, they're not going to have identical palms, as we talked about palmistry a little bit last
right.
time. I can give you an example from my own life, of the complexity. Okay, without going into all the gory details,
mm-hmm.
I had a foster son years
mm-hmm.
ago, and now he's, almost 40 years old, and he's had some very serious legal issues.
Mm-hmm.
So I know him and his current girlfriend. I also know his ex and her
mm-hmm.
current boyfriend. And
mm-hmm.
they share a son together, the two that are now split, the foster son and his ex. Mm-hmm. And so I'm friends with both. I've supported him through a really rough time, and I've maintained friendship with her. But it takes a balancing act, especially when you bring into the idea that there are certainly legal snafus going on between the two.
Mm-hmm.
So today I get an email asking, she had sent me an invitation to her new wedding,
mm-hmm.
and asked me to walk her down the aisle.
Oh, my.
So I'm sitting there going, oh, my gosh, this, how much more complicated could this get? You know,
right.
Because I'm not even allowed legally to tell either party what the other party is saying. And so I was saying, can I really do this? Can I really balance this way?
Uh-huh.
Can I really, you know, walk this fine line? And
right.
And it, honestly, it's not my ego saying, oh, look what a, you know, what a lofty person I am, that both sides want me, or that I'm being
mm-hmm.
somehow placed. No, I'm not looking at it that way. I was actually kind of on a human level a little bit concerned and scared.
Right. Like, oh, my God.
But
why
but
me?
There's a golden opportunity to blend the two opposites, to
mm-hmm.
be able to, you know, be of a positive and helping nature to both sides, to both parties,
mm-hmm.
and maybe eventually help to bridge the gap, you know, especially
right.
if these two people have a child together.
Right.
Maybe, you know, I'm just hoping, maybe I'm an idealist, but I'm hoping eventually that that might lead to at least a neutrality where everybody involved could be civil with one another.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's a prime example. So I'm not just speaking in theoretical or abstract terms. I can see it in my own life, that situation.
Right.
I can see where there's two opposites or two oppositional forces, and I literally become the conduit between them. And I'm
right.
thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, that's a lot. It's a lot to
yeah.
consider. It's a, you know. So anyway, that's just an example from my own experience.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, there we are in 2013 with that going on.
Wow. I know this is, January is always a time when people are at the height of, I'm going to change, or my New Year's resolution. Yeah, that lasts like 2 weeks. And then it's like, I didn't say that. Did I say that? That was stupid.
That was that other person that was pretending to be me.
That's right. That wasn't me. I would never say go to the gym every day. But we're looking for these changes, and it's a time when people are like, I'm going to get a new job. And, you know, workplaces tend to be, besides, you know, and that's, it's a family as well, I understand, where there's the most challenge to
yeah.
kind of work these, you know, work things out and work with people, you know, to be the team, to be, you know, workmates. And where would 2013 kind of rear its head in this environment?
Well, I look at a workplace, since most of us, myself included, weren't born with trust funds to live off of or silver spoons
right.
in our mouth,
right.
mouths. I look at the workplace. I say to people when I'm reading for them, I say, okay, where do you live? And they say, oh, I live in 11th Avenue A. And I say, where do you work? Oh, I work downtown
mm-hmm.
at the shoe factory. And I say,
mm-hmm.
oh, actually, you live at the shoe factory. I said,
mm-hmm.
how many hours a week are you at the shoe factory? Well, every day I go in, you know, 9 to 5, but I have to be up 2 hours. I said, you spend more time at your work physically than you do at your home.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, so therefore home is kind of becomes a relative term, you know, and related to where you spend most of your time. I know,
mm-hmm.
you know what you're saying about home being your intimate space with your family or with yourself
mm-hmm.
or whomever, your loved ones or even just yourself. And your
mm-hmm.
cats and dogs. But really, home becomes wherever, you know, your home is really your soul. So wherever you go, you know, you take
your
that with
home.
You. Wherever you go,
I
there
like
you
that.
Are.
Yeah, there you
so
are.
So I think in that work environment, you were asking how does it relate there. I guess we're sort of unofficially being called upon to be our own mediators, our own go-betweens, our own Switzerland, if you will, staying
mm-hmm.
as neutral as possible when any division comes up between people in the workplace, even if we're the target of it. We have a
mm-hmm.
golden opportunity to be, and I'm not trying to sound all smiley button, hearts and flowers, but we have a golden opportunity at that point to, okay, we could either react and take the offenses, or mm-hmm. we could be smarter, wiser, and work it so that we're not manipulating the other person, but that we're appealing to them in a way of showing them that we're not their enemy. We're not, you know, we're just not buying into the conflict.
And right.
That's how I would want to approach it. I don't always approach everything that way. I'm certainly not saying I'm this level-headed, you know, person that can detach and be, you know, wise. I'm not wise and all-knowing, that's for sure. But I try to, you know, I try to go about it from an angle of if I can't, you know, if I can't say something nice, I don't say anything at all.
And it's really that simple, isn't it?
It's harder than people think to do that.
It really is. If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. And I think in the workplace where it feels adversarial,
mm-hmm.
in most positions, there's some, you know, lucky them, where job is fun and they really enjoy being there and being with the people they work with. But there are a lot of situations where it's very adversarial. And you
mm-hmm.
feel like you know, you have to attack back.
You know, neutrality doesn't have to be passivity. It's okay to take a stand. If you're being oppressed,
mm-hmm.
it's okay to say, I'm being oppressed. And it's okay
mm-hmm.
to stand up and state your case. Yeah, I got
mm-hmm.
attacked. I mean, well, it was a veiled attack. But I got really criticized on Facebook the other night. A person I've known for a couple of years, and she fancies
mm-hmm.
herself a very spiritual person, and I'll give her that she has every intention of being spiritual. Maybe I'm being judgmental and saying I don't know if what she did was really of spirit or more of her own human ego.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
she got really upset with me. She doesn't live in the environment I live in. She lives about, you know, 90 miles away in a completely different state, completely different situation. And I was
mm-hmm.
just saying how where I live, the it has become a police state. It has become, I live in a rural area with only one sizable city. It's a very small city, but all the other places around it are little towns. So we're all satellites. Our communities are satellites around this one town.
Mm-hmm.
And as such, the town has got this attitude that it's the center of literally the universe. And the in fact, they were even lampooned on the national news because they bought one of those, they were given the chance to either take $500,000 from the government or have the government give them a Bearcat, which is one of those big Hummer
right.
military vehicles. So being
yeah.
the town that they were, they took the Bearcat, saying that, oh, we need it in case of a terrorist attack. Hello,
come on,
we're in
please.
The middle of rural New Hampshire. Terrorist
yeah.
attack, I don't think so.
Right. We need the
so
money.
Anyway,
let's make a deal.
Right. She came on and she said, you know, she was responding when I made a comment about, you know, I made a comment and an example of what the police were doing to somebody here. And I was making a comment about a local official who was very high profile, who had a drunk driving charge, actually caught, you know, stopped
mm-hmm.
in my own little town.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, why is it different for a friend of mine who's sitting in her car, not even turning the engine on, but she just came out of business celebration, and because somebody, a guard was at the celebration, was not happy that she didn't take him up on his supposed proposition and offer, so he sent a friend out to arrest her for having had a drink.
Oh, come on.
And yet she goes through all this rigmarole and has really serious consequences, has to go through all these training courses, and she has to go through recertification, blah, blah, blah. But this
uh-huh.
official, because he's got a political title, goes through less of a consequence when he was driving all over the road, weaving and almost hitting a bus full of
children. Oh, my gosh. Oh, God.
So she jumped on me and said, as long as you keep focusing on this, you're going to see the evil and the negative. And I said,
oh.
you know, excuse me, but
mm-hmm.
injustice is still injustice, and I'm not being negative whatsoever. I'm simply saying that this call to, you know, militarism really needs to stop. I mean,
right.
it's being misused.
Yeah.
So taking that and applying it back to what you were asking about the workplace, it really does become kind of a balancing act to know when to speak up and in what degree, And when it goes over the line where you're suddenly, you know, carrying a picket sign or you're wanting to, you know, punch the next person in line.
Right. Yeah, because, you know, we're all, and I think because we, in our, the media has kind of told us we're in a bad straits and, you know, these are desperate times. People tend to take that on.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
the workplaces, you know, some workplaces have become these places where, you know, workers feel like I have no other choice but to put up with certain scenarios, and employees feel like I'm in a certain position and I don't have to put up with certain scenarios.
Right, right.
So it puts, well, you know, it creates this adversarial environment.
It does. And then you've got the whole thing of everybody tiptoeing around because of political correctness, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say this or this because it might offend. Oh, case in point. I'll just stop myself right there. Think of seasonal pageants at schools. It got to the
right.
It gets to the point where nobody can put any religious connotation or any spiritual connotation because some other group might be offended.
Right.
And
right.
You get that. That's what's happening, you know, by and large, across the board in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can speak up because this other group is going to be enraged and up in arms, and suddenly they're going to be, and then CNN is going to put the spotlight on them, then CNN and Fox News will put the spotlight on the
right. And nobody can have anything anymore.
Right.
And it reads like those novels we see
mm-hmm.
about societies that just have no more personality.
Well, we can become Lord of the Flies.
Yeah.
You know, people take it into their own hands and form their own group, and then, you know, the bully in the group who might have, you know, a few little points of intelligence takes over and everybody else follows, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, in Lord of the Flies, you had a major, that was a major problem.
Yeah,
it didn't work out so well
for them.
You know, that the overweight kid that they called
right.
the bee.
I know. It didn't work for him.
No, it didn't work for him. He got labeled, and then he gets slaughtered. You know, I think of like the issue with Trayvon Martin down in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it was cut and dry. It was really, I mean, just my opinion was very,
yep, mine too.
Very easy. What's that?
I was like, I think I'm with you on this.
Yeah. It was very cut and dry to me that it was a
mm-hmm.
clear case where that boy was slaughtered.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any doubt in my mind. And that doesn't mean that am I looking at the guy that did it and saying, I hate you, I condemn you, I want you strung up. No, I
mm-hmm.
just wanted it. I just want to have it addressed.
Right.
I want to have it addressed, and I want a form of justice, yes, to be issued, but I'm not
mm-hmm.
out for blood. I mean,
no.
Blood in, you know, isn't going to replace blood. You
no.
know? And so, but at the same time, here were sides being taken again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why we can't, you know, like the friend saying, you know, you shouldn't be commenting on this. And I'm thinking, well, what am I supposed to do? Just,
right.
you know. I suppose I'm supposed to be. I said, let's put you in the situation, see if you can take the Gandhi approach. That's my
thought. Thank you.
Which
yeah.
is pretty sarcastic of me, but I said, look, I'm not even claiming to be that evolved yet that I can turn the other cheek or be Gandhi and just say, okay, well, all right. I said, because I see other people being hurt, you know,
mm-hmm.
and so that makes me really inspires in me a reaction of, you know, I don't want this person to be judged, or I don't want this to go unaddressed, or I don't want my friend to suffer more severe consequences while somebody else doesn't simply because they have a name or a title.
Right. Because I think when you realize that as human beings, no one has any more power or any less power than any other person.
I believe that's true.
You
on a
see
spiritual
the
level, I really believe that's
yeah.
true.
You see the equality of every human being to have the potential. So your friend who was subjected to this, what seems to be injustice,
mm-hmm.
in the spiritual realm, she is no more less than the guy who was allowed to escape you know, right. repercussions of obvious actions. And somewhere in the real world, that will balance out. Yeah.
Right, exactly. You got it. That's exactly, yeah. And so I think where this applies to the year, going back to mm-hmm. your original question about 2013, is I think there's going to be more and more, you know, even though it's a year of direct action, it's a year of hopefully starting to work toward group cooperation, I think we're going to see, before that happens, more and more squaring off. I don't think that our times of squaring off, I don't think, you know, cliche example, Republicans and Democrats are going to be, you know, best friends tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't work together, we will have some retrograde consequences. And
mm-hmm.
that's not what the, you know, we the people out here, you know, who are just living our everyday lives, we can't afford that.
No. So let's talk about some happier news.
Okay. We get all political and military. Oh,
I,
gosh.
I know. Like, hey, do you tell? Okay.
Don't cry for me, Argentina.
I know. Stand back. Buenos Aires. Okay, we can do the whole show.
Uh-oh, we're turning into an episode of Glee.
Yeah. We'll do Glee on the air. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, the last time we had some callers call in,
mm-hmm.
and that was really fun. So I'm going to
mm-hmm.
put, you know, the phone number out there right now, just in case somebody would like, you know, to call in. It's 347-637-2319, and press 1 to be connected to the fun. Anyway, and I'm going to check in with my producer. Do we have any callers? Do we have anything waiting? Hello? Hello? I guess not. Anyway.
We're all alone.
Hello, did you need me?
Oh, yeah. I was saying, did we have any callers?
We have one caller in right now,
okay.
And do you have to let everybody know we're open the line to phone calls and stuff like that?
Yeah, I just did.
Okay.
I put the number out there and said we're, you know, if you'd like to call.
Okay.
Who
okay,
do we
well,
have on?
Hold on. Here she is.
Hello?
Archie, I'm going to make a better play by knocking it down.
Oh, boy.
Hello? I think we're in retrograde again, Steve.
Okay.
I blame it on the full moon tomorrow.
Okay. There
okay.
you go.
Well, I can ask a question, you know, since I seem to be here listening very carefully and everything. You talk about the workplace, and that's really interesting that you would mention that, because I had a conversation with Valencia yesterday about the workplace. How do you...
Mm-hmm.
How do you see things going forward? Because as you can see, everything is so volatile right now, and I don't understand. Can you explain that?
I think the volatility is, well, on a very simple level, it's basic frustration when a person feels that they're, you know, they perceive themselves to be powerless, or that they're not being heard or listened to, or that they can't achieve an objective, you know, they can't pass a bill, they can't get something through, they don't feel that they're being represented correctly. So it starts with a seed of frustration, and then it escalates and bumps into what Valencia and I were talking about before, where everybody's opinion, it becomes entitlement. So they go from frustration to feeling like, well, I have a right to be heard, to I will be heard, to my opinion is, you know, more important than the other person's. And pretty soon, you've got rigidity. You've got people that are absolutely unwilling to bend or unwilling to compromise or go to the conference table and put a real proposition out and listen to the other party. So I think what's happened here is there's been a breakdown in not just a simple communication breakdown, but a pretty complicated one. Where,
mm-hmm.
And I think it really goes with the theme of, okay, not to get too esoteric here, but the whole thing with the Mayan calendar and certain people thinking that the world was going to end, then everybody kind of realized, what most people realized toward the as December 21st approached, that that wasn't what was really happening. It wasn't going to be the literal end of the world. But according to the sources, the simplest way of putting it is they were saying it was going into the fifth world or into a new dimensional energy, which doesn't mean that buildings changed color or all these things outwardly suddenly shifted in a very obvious way. It was a very subtle but discernible shift of energy. So I think with this shift of energy, the way people were behaving before in terms of squaring off and saying, well, I want to be heard and this is my opinion and my opinion is the way to do it, it's not going to work. So and it does make things more volatile. And then my concern is, not just in the workplace, but like the shooting in Newtown, Connecticut, there are more and more people who are being kind of triggered off, meaning that all this stuff has built up over years and years and years, and suddenly it's coming to a head and boom, out it comes, and people go postal, mm-hmm. meaning that they take a gun or they do something or they simply start a big, huge, you know, conflict. It doesn't even have to be a situation of horrible violence. They just start having this resentful, nasty attitude toward each other. That really, I really think, maybe I'm being all, you know, hearts and flowers here, but I think we're going to start to see changes with that. Not because people are smartening up all that much, but because it's just not going to work if it doesn't happen. So people, you know, like the fiscal cliff, that whole issue,
mm-hmm.
it has to happen, because if it does actually go over that line, then everybody suffers, and the people that are being stubborn know that they'll suffer too. But I think you're going to see a gradual willingness, or at least, you know, a participation in a more cooperative process. Go ahead.
Okay, well, there is an article that I wanted to share with you that I received from my good friend, and it's about an Arkansas woman who was killed in a mistaken rapture.
Okay,
I'll read it to you. Arkansas, a Little Rock woman was killed yesterday after leaping through her moving car's sunroof during an incident best described as mistaken rapture by dozens of eyewitnesses. 13 other people were injured after a 20-car pileup resulted from people trying to avoid hitting the woman, who was apparently convinced that the rapture was occurring when she saw 12 people floating up in the air and then passed a man on the side of the road who she believed was Jesus. She started screaming, he's back," and climbed out through the sunroof and jumped off the sunroof of the car, said Everett, her husband, of 28-year-old Georgian woman who was pronounced dead at the scene. "I was slowing down, but she wouldn't wait until I stopped," Williams said. She thought the rapture was happening and was convinced Jesus was going to lift her up into the sky. He went on to say, "This is the strangest thing I've ever seen. I've been on the floor," said a police officer. Madison, the man who looked like Jesus and discovered that he was on his way to a toga costume party when the tarp covering the bed of his pickup truck came loose and released 12 blow-up sex dolls filled with helium.
Oh, my God.
Which
oh
then
my
floated
God.
Up into the sky. Ernie Jenkins, 32, of Fort Smith, who had been told by several of his friends that he looks like Jesus, pulled over to lift his arms into the air in frustration, said, "Come back," just as Williams' car passed him. And Mrs. Williams was sure that it was Jesus lifting people up into heaven as they drove by him.
That
wow.
is the most bizarre story I've ever heard.
That is very bizarre. And I really think that this ties into what we were just talking about people, you know, everybody comes from their own human belief system. And obviously this woman had, you know, a very, well, there was something very Christian about her belief system, because that's a very fundamentalist concept. And again,
mm-hmm.
I'm not criticizing it whatsoever. But when you break it down, something in her obviously responded, you know, it triggered that off, so she thought it was happening. You know, it was a little delusive on her part to not wait and see that they were blow-up sex dolls, but good God.
It's so Christian and anti-Christian at the same time.
At the same time. It's so push and pull. It's so much that dichotomy we were talking about, but at the same time.
Yeah.
She obviously had part of her wanted it to be the rapture, wanted whatever pressures and challenges in her life to be over, and she just wanted to go, hey, God, take me away. Calgon, take
mm-hmm.
me away.
Right.
So she just, went into it, and her mind just sort of snapped and said, oh, those are souls going to heaven. And
right.
Oh, my gosh.
And she
just, I think
it sounded like
be,
she couldn't stand in that place of neutrality you were talking about.
She couldn't. She completely became ungrounded, literally.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is happening more and more. The shootings, and again, I'm not trying to minimize anyone's pain. I'm not trying to
mm-hmm.
exonerate people
anyone
who perpetrated
either.
Horrible crimes.
Right.
But if you look at the eyes of the shooter in the Gabby Giffords shooting in Arizona, the young man that shot people in the theater in Colorado,
mm-hmm.
the boy in Connecticut who, by the way, was from originally from nearby where I live. His family was from here and had moved to Connecticut a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at their eyes, all of them have that same wide-eyed, totally. Like pinwheel, I'm not there. I'm just
yeah.
sort of taken over. I don't think they were possessed. I mean, I wouldn't even call it a possession. I think, and it goes beyond conventional psychosis to me. Something
mm-hmm.
in their energy field snapped, and
mm-hmm.
they didn't look at it as they were doing something bad, good, or indifferent. They were just reacting to the energy. Now, of course, the boy in Connecticut had been conditioned for a long period of time. His mother had said, oh, people are going to do a home invasion. We have to go to the rifle range. She had taken him there and trained him in using assault rifles and weapons. The thing is, he was, had been clinically diagnosed as partially autistic.
You're
just not recommended. You just don't take your troubled child to the rifle range.
Right, and put
but
them on
I think this
a,
woman,
a
obviously,
child.
Right, prior to this woman's incident in which she, of course, died and caused havoc for all these other people and misinterpreted what she was seeing,
mm-hmm.
something was already going on in her that allowed for her at that moment to say, there it is, there's the thing, there's what I've been looking for, this is it, it's happening.
Wow.
And she just, she went right into it, probably in her mind's eye. Those didn't look
mm-hmm.
like blow-up dolls at all.
Right. They looked like angels or, souls.
Souls,
and she wanted to go with them.
Yeah.
That is such...
Wow, thank you for reading that. I had not heard that. That is truly bizarre.
Yes. And, I've been hearing, different things from different people, and... Everything sounds a little not so level or right to me. And when my good friend sent that to me, I was like, what is going on? And you've explained it in such a really good way and simple way that people, they want change, but they're not ready to wait for it or willing to wait for it.
Right. And they misinterpret it and push for it in other ways.
Right. And I think that story in itself is... I'm sorry that this happened to this woman, but at the same time, it's like a cautionary tale almost.
Yeah.
For all of us, in some way, when you're looking at something, and take a moment and breathe. She just, like you said, became unglued for probably so many reasons we don't understand in her life, but it turned out to be a naturally occurring thing, but this is something that has always been a question for me. People who see extraordinary things
mm-hmm.
or feel extraordinary things, because we grew up in the Baptist church, and I would just see people have these moments where they just,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. they get the spirit and they go. And I would just sit there and go, how come I don't get that? What's wrong with me? How come I'm not jumping up and down? Are these experiences, like this woman, is she really seeing this, Or is it something only for her and we can't see it? Or what is it?
There's a word... there's a word in our English language vocabulary, discernment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it comes down to a question of on that level of discernment. And discernment means, you know, being clear to apprehend the truth of what we're seeing. Now, a person could argue quantum physics or abstraction and say, well, reality is all a perception of the individual. Okay, fine. But
mm-hmm.
nonetheless, if you and I are going through a revolving door and one of us says, oh, there's no revolving door, and it comes around and smacks you, there's a revolving door.
Yeah.
So I think the discernment is like you look at a situation and with real true discernment, you see what it is, you understand it in a useful way, in a harmless, even perhaps productive way, and then you're able to proceed and do something with it that produces yet another positive result or allows you to, you know, solve an issue or move along. This woman's discernment was obviously, it wasn't operant, you know, on all levels at that point.
Mm-hmm.
You brought up a good point, though. You said maybe for her, maybe even in her passing and in her death and leaving her body, which I believe is probably what happened. Of course,
mm-hmm.
an atheist would say, no, she's just done and there's nothing there. But I believe
mm-hmm.
she, you know, in her death, she left the body. And then she's able to see, you know, that, oh, those were dolls. This is a mortal man.
Right.
But at the same time, something had to come and greet her, or there had to be some interactive process for her to cross over. I don't think we're going to return to the scene and find this, you know, trapped soul who then, you know,
Everybody who passes the highway, right?
Yeah, as this ghost walking down the highway, unless she's so traumatized and doesn't understand what happened to her.
Right.
But what she saw in her physical brain wasn't what was actually happening.
Right,
and,
absolutely.
And how she interpreted it was based on her emotional name. I think for you, Valencia, you were asking about why didn't I feel moved? Because
mm-hmm.
from what I know of you, you come from a very deep place. Your soul is very contained. I mean, you're an emotional person, but your soul
mm-hmm.
is very contained. You're not given to flights of foolishness or delusion. And
mm-hmm.
I think that I'm not saying that the people that were reacting were going into flights of foolishness or delusion, but some of it was emotion. Some of it was, you know, the pent-up stuff that they need to get out, and they needed to do it in that way to feel the presence of Creator. They needed to do it to let go of all the tension in their lives. And you're just looking at it like, if you were to have an experience like that, you would have something much not that we're in a contest here, but you'd have something very profound happen, something that would be indisputable, something where
mm-hmm.
it wouldn't be where we'd have to theorize, did that really happen? It would be,
right.
Because you come from a place of spiritually being grounded, if you had an experience that prompted you to go into another state of consciousness, it would be because it was really happening. That's what I feel
okay.
with you. It wouldn't be something that your imagination was concocting.
Right. Okay. Thank you, Steve, because I was like, what's wrong with me? Why can't I have one? Thanks, Nevin. Do we have any callers?
We don't really have any, but I got tons of questions.
Go right ahead.
I've been experiencing, like, lately, it seems like anything and everything that could go wrong has gone wrong. The pipes burst, the floors all messed up in my house, and why is all of this disruption happening in my wonderful life?
I think, you know, and this is going to sound like a totally psychic prediction, but perhaps it is. I think you'll find, I'm going to go forward and then go backward. First thing I see is that around June, approximately that period of time, June, like the beginning, well, actually the middle of June, there will be major family issue transitions going on. And I think that what's happened with some of the stuff, it's not spirits, it's not, you know, you're not being haunted, it's nothing like that at all. It's cumulative energy. When a person thinks about you or interact, not just that we call them up on the phone or we talk to them on email, but just sending the thought to the person does have energy and it does have transmission, and there is a, even if the person doesn't believe in that, there's an interactive process because it goes out to us. Whether we pick a case in point, yesterday I'm going out for my usual six mile walk. Even in this cold weather, I went out for walk, and I start thinking about this woman that I've read for before. I read for a lot of people, but I hadn't read for her. Right around this time of year, she usually calls and asks, you know, for the last couple of years. And she does it more for, I think, entertainment. But she always has me over, and I do a once-a-year thing for her and a friend of hers who usually comes over. But she hadn't done this for 2 years. And I thought, well, maybe she just got sick of it and whatever. And then the more I thought of her, the more clearly she came into my mind. And I started wondering, you know, she's a yoga instructor. And I thought, but she didn't seem to understand even the basic principles about psychic or intuitive. She just, you know, and I thought, well, you know, there's me being cliche, thinking that if somebody's teaching yoga, they must automatically be a wise, evolved being. Well, not necessarily. You know, yoga is, you know, on one level, is a very mechanical process, a very beautiful thing, but it can be very mechanical. So I started thinking about her, and then I thought, wonder why I'm thinking about her so intently. So this morning I go get the mail, and there's the paper. I opened it up, and in our local paper we have a thing called a profile, and they do every Saturday a profile on an area person who's doing something, you know, positive. There she is. There she is on the, in the profile, going over everything about her career, her yoga instruction, what she believes in, all the questions I had in my mind the day before, and today's her birthday.
Wow.
It said in the article today's her birthday, and I'm going, okay, so then it brings up the question, and this is going to tie back into your question. It brings up the question, was I thinking about her and picking up on her because it's her birthday, and because was it just a logical thought of where, you know, whatever happened to this person, why didn't she contact me, or was it because there was energy around her because they were going to spotlight her as a celebrity in the area, and was it also because she had been thinking and sending thoughts? Who knows? I don't have an answer to those questions, but I think all of them are valid, and probably each one of them has a partial response to it. So because she was sending that energy, I was picking it up. It triggered off this whole thing where I thought of her, and then I kind of like let it go. And then this morning I got the, you know, without even meaning to, got validation on it. So I think what's happening, how this ties into you, is the things that are going on aren't being generated by confusion within yourself. I think there are certain cross currents of energy going on where certain other people in situations in your life whom you are connected to are having difficulties or not comprehending how they're not handling things correct, you know, in a positive way necessarily between themselves and perhaps other loved ones. You're a real I'm going to say this. You're like Sarah Bernhardt. You're the person that wants it all to be okay. You're the mediator. You're the person that goes in and wants to make sure there's a certain level of balance between all parties. You'd be the peacekeeper. So the residue from all these conflicting situations are coming into your space because the protection, kind of the little shield, isn't up because you're not a veiled or shielded person. You're very open and receptive when you want to help someone. So I think a lot of these things are short-circuited energy coming from other sources. I don't think it's anything you're doing wrong, and I don't think it's a message from God saying, you know, your life is a mess, or I think it's sparks coming from other, other sources that are starting little brush fires in your area.
Oh, okay.
So that's how I see it.
Oh,
That's interesting.
It makes sense because I do have this belief that when you become, you know, when you interact with people, you pick up their energy, whether you like it or not.
Yes, and you're very much the peacekeeper. I mean, you're a direct person, but you're a person who really wants people to, you know, if there's a way to, you know, resolve an issue or to stop, you know, holding on to the conflict where somebody has to prove that they're right or they feel that they've been done wrong and they won't let go of their hurt, you're the kind of person that wants to kind of, you know, help ease that to a degree. I mean, you're not a conflict person. You're just not who you are. You don't engage in, you know, you aren't this stubborn little hornet that goes in and stings people and says, see, I'm right, I'm right, I'm right. You're more the person that says, let's all try to work this out. And you're getting a lot of backlash, not personally, they're not thinking bad thoughts to you, but you're getting a lot of backlash because some of that energy, it has to go somewhere. So you've become the dumping ground. You've become the you become the nuclear waste ground for other people's unresolved stuff. So they need that given back so that they can deal with it themselves.
Okay, I'm giving it back to them now. However,
yes. How does one do that, though? How does one, you know, because if you are taking on other people's energy, how do you kind of shield yourself in a way or kind of, like, detox yourself?
I think there's various schools of thought and disciplines and meditation processes that can be used, but I think the simplest answer for me would be to try to come from a point, a loving point of, to be loving but detached, to send or to just to register, not even send, but just register as much positive and just ask that there be resolution and that you be able to not have to take the problem home with you, even when you're not aware that you did. I mean, that probably sounds a little convoluted, but that's the best way I can answer it.
Well, we have two callers on the line. Woohoo!
Oh, yay!
Yay. So we're going to start with Alex.
Mm-hmm.
Alex, are you on?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
What's your question for Steve?
Good afternoon, Steve. I'm a real young daughter. Yes. I'm having the same issues my mom is having, and it's just like, you know, nothing seems to make me happy. You know, I hate my job. I hate my living situations. Like, I'm just waiting for this, you know, this big burst of greatness to happen. And I don't know what's going on.
And you think I do? No, I'm just kidding. first of all, okay, and please don't take this as a criticism. I know you're not, you have a very sweet quality to your voice, and I know that you're not, you know, this little weak, shy, retiring person, but I do feel that there is an element of oppression, or you're being bombarded, where, you know, especially at the workplace as well. It's just that it's like somebody turned the noise up and you're just saying, oh my gosh, it's like, I just want it to stop. It's like you're not trying to fight or disagree or have conflicts with anybody, but there's so much, again, you're another person that so much is going on around you, it's poisoning your energy field. And it's not allowing you to clearly see the next step that you need to take. So you're just saying, I don't know quite what to do. That's valid. I'm not scolding or criticizing and saying, yeah, you do know what to do, just do it. I don't think you do know what to do, because I think it's really blocked and muddled right now by all this stuff that's going on around you. But just know this. I don't think you're causing any of this. I don't think you're the direct, you don't need to be the trash can for all this to go into, and it's affecting you. Also, on level of personal relationships, like one-on-one relationships or even partnerships, there are some issues. How personal can I get? Can I just say what I see?
Same as me.
Yeah.
Okay. There's going to be some changes in personal relationship, you know, one-on-one. There's a big need for that to happen now, and you need a bigger voice in what's going on. You really you're very accommodating, you're very giving, and somebody needs to give back to you. And I'm not saying the other person that I'm thinking of is a bad person or that they're selfish, or I'm just saying that they need to really, really appreciate you. And so if that doesn't happen, then there's going to be a complete change in partnership. And not to panic you. I'm not predicting that whatever's going on now will completely bite the dust and end. I'm just saying that if it doesn't go through a transformation or an improvement, then it's very likely that latter part of the year, meaning the three-quarter point of the year, when you get into the fall of the year, there's going to be a real transformation and partnership that will take place. Right now, I think that the period of time that you're going through or the cycle that you're going through will probably last until about May. I mean, that's just an approximation. These time frames are not meant. I'm sorry to say that. I don't think it's going to be consistently as confusing and draining. There's the word. You're drained. And I don't think it's going to be as draining until May. I think there'll be little steps up. But, oh, my gosh, I just feel like you're surrounded by all these people that are just, they're just so, they're complaining and they're not happy and there's so much disagreement going on between people around you, and you're trying to. It's like you're running through a field and you're dodging the bullets. You're trying to just say, you're just saying, I don't want any of this. I want a job that's meaningful. I want to just do it. I want to be able to do it well. I want to go home at night, have my own private life, and I want, you know, the joy in life has kind of been crushed. It's been crushed a lot. So. Back to personal partnership, because I keep picking up on that. It won't leave me alone. So I keep thinking like, oh, I don't want to talk about a person's personal life, but I have to, because it won't leave me alone. There's two things I'm seeing. One, a current partner. I'm not going to say that, you know, necessarily has to be a husband or a boyfriend, but I mean, it has that kind of feel to it. Okay. But there is another person from before this time. I mean, I feel both energies. And the two people are not necessarily the same. I'm not saying the pattern is the same. I'm not going to say that. I'm just saying that there are points when the good part of the former relationship and the good part of the current or recent relationship, it's like you wish you could take the pieces of both and put them together and throw the negatives of the two away so that you'd have, if you could roll the two positives together and just have one person with both positives, then you feel, you know, it's like you would have what you want. But I'm just going to say this, and please know that I'm not trying to sound like a fortune teller. I'm really not trying to sound like that. But I do think that if this does not change and does not work out, that I can see you being very happy in a partnership going into the end of the year, into the next year. And I really think that changes around you, even professionally, will also be in place. This first quarter of the year is going to be really challenging. The middle of the year is going to be transformational. The end of the year is going to be really great. I mean, really, you're going to really feel like you found yourself, that you're being heard, that you can do what you want in your work, that your personal relations are much smoother, and that you can kind of, you know, not have to worry so much about other family members as well. So that's what I see.
Excellent. How's that, Alex? It was great. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're really welcome.
We have.
Thank you for talking to me. I want everybody to be okay.
I know. We have another caller, Stacy.
Yes. Hi, Steve. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi, I'm back again, Steve.
Yes, I recognize this immediately.
Well, since the last show, I've been going through a lot of stuff with my employment. Mm-hmm. Let me refresh your memory. You had told me that someone was trying to do something, but we are coming out the winner and everything. But just last Friday, I was let go from my agency after working there for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I accepted it with peace and everything. And then yesterday, the director of human resources called me to say that they want to reverse the termination and they want me to resign. And I'm just, like, at a crossroad right now where why all of a sudden the change when I was already at peace with them letting me go after 10 years? I've been very productive, always on time. You know, I'm, like, the go-to person that was in the agency. So now I'm wondering what's happening now. Why this change, this transformation?
what I felt the minute I heard your voice, and I did recognize your voice right away. I didn't remember your name until, you know, I was told, but I recognized your voice and your energy right off. And I think that what has happened since we last spoke is, okay, you've got these people in the background, and I'm not saying they're hidden from you, but they're in the background. In other words, they have different degrees of power. And so there's been a lot of interaction that you wouldn't have been called in on or wouldn't be, you know, necessarily conscious of that has gone on. Your situation was really bad. There was a battle over what to do and how to approach this. And I can tell you, you had an advocate. You had one person there who was like, this is ridiculous and this shouldn't be happening. But because of this other adversarial person, this third person that we talked about before,
mm-hmm.
Another coworker, if you will, that person, I don't know what their connection to, when you take the first two people that were talking about you and you
mm-hmm.
put the person who you were having issues with, I think that person has some kind of connection to one of those two people, and so the two of them overpowered the advocate in a sense. So
mm-hmm.
the way they handled it, to be politically correct, we were talking about that term before,
mm-hmm.
Was that they decided that, okay, we're not going to make a big issue. We're just going to do a very black and white, very, you know, yes or no thing here. What we're going to do is say, okay, you have to go. And then
mm-hmm.
they came back almost that to protect themselves, because there are some technicalities that don't add up here.
Mm-hmm.
This is not, in terms of absolute justice and truth, you should not have been fired or let go.
Mm-hmm.
That was that technically is a manipulation on the part of someone else. That's not because of job performance or what you know. It's not you. You apparently are very much a threat or to these other two people that have kind of ganged up and decided that this is the way it's going to be. So they needed to eliminate anybody that they felt might be oppositional or might not go along with what they're cooking up. You will probably hear through the grapevine over the next few months that they have cooked up a whole new approach to the way things are going to be done at that workplace. And it won't be, you know, it won't work the way they think it's going to work, but they wanted to eliminate you, and you're not the only person. You may see somebody else be leaving there under, you know, who's going to leave there under under odd, suddenly being cut out.
Mm-hmm.
I think that spiritually you're being protected. You know, spiritually, you know, whatever guiding forces or sources work with you, they're saying, okay, this has gotten to be too much of a, you know, of a place where people are lying and playing games, and that you don't need to be, you know, Stacy doesn't need to be in there. And so on a human level, it makes it, you know, well, it's not nice to be, you know, to be fired and or let go and then have to regroup and figure out, well, what am I going to do next? I mean, you have enough expertise that I think that, you know, if you transition to a new place, I don't think it's going to take you that long if that's what eventually happens.
Mm-hmm.
I think a third thing is going to happen here. I think that they're calling up and saying, well, don't, you know, we're not firing you, just resign. It takes a black mark off your, you know, it takes a red check mark off your record so that you're not, you know, so that it's looking like, well, we didn't say that she was no good or that she, you know, that she had failed at her job. We just had to let her go. But now they want you to take the responsibility. It's almost like you're firing yourself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I look at that and I'm saying, well, isn't that convenient for the people that want you out?
Mm-hmm.
So they say, oh, well, she made the decision. She resigned.
Right.
It's like I'm looking at it from a standpoint of like, no, you didn't. You didn't make the decision to resign. I think there's games. I think there's manipulation. I think this is a very dishonest situation that has happened.
Mm-hmm.
I think this other person who did not want to see you go may reapproach it again and may try to get somebody else on their side, so that now we've got, you know, the advocate and an ally who can go up against these other two people and say, well, maybe we want her to come back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not that I'm saying that you should or shouldn't come back. That's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that you haven't heard the last of this, is what I'm saying. But this was all manipulated. this was totally manipulated, and it's not at all anything to do with any deficit on your part, but I think you're being protected. That sounds crazy to say that, but I think you're being protected.
But my other question is, I'm supposed to meet with the law department sometime
mm-hmm.
next week to discuss this, because they feel I'm going to sue the agency. And like I said to them, I had no reasons to sue the agency. I left in peace. I thought
mm-hmm.
the door was closed. I was just waiting for my last check. And now they're holding my sick time and for my 10 years, you know, the perks that come with it, basing it on that for me to sign this waiver. And I'm like, I don't think that's fair.
I don't think it's right. I don't think, I mean, personally and just energetically, I don't think you should sign that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's exactly what these manipulators want you to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that it makes them look squeaky clean.
Right.
It makes
mm-hmm.
it look like it was all your decision. And it wasn't your decision.
It wasn't. And I think because I know so much about the ins and outs of other individuals who have been under scrutiny, and they swept it under the rug, and they either got a promotion or a demotion
mm-hmm.
and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's probably why they decided to rethink the termination aspect and make it look like I'm resigning.
Yeah, they didn't
or they want me
to
make it look like I'm going to resign.
Right. They didn't want anybody to trace the crumbs back in the woods and find that, oh, these people did this on purpose. It was all a setup.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what it actually was. They wanted it to look like it was just a professional situation. You decided to transition and go somewhere else, and everybody's fine. And I'm thinking, no, everybody's not fine. And even beyond that, what they plan on doing now that they have their promotions and their power, they're going to make a mess. They're going to make a mess, and they will not be able to. It's one of those examples of be careful what you ask for, because you'll get it. You know, these people that have done this are going to be under the spotlight, under examination by August or September. You're going to hear that, you know, these people, they're being questioned about what they've been doing,
mm-hmm.
and new rules and regulations that will be implemented. This is a whole takeover. This is a takeover, and they're squeezing out anybody from the old regime, and they consider that, well, we don't want to make it look like we did that to her, so we'll make it look like she just decided on her own. And I don't think I don't like it. I don't like it. There is a really bad energy about it.
Yeah, I didn't like it when I found out 4:30 yesterday neither, because I was okay with them letting me go and just waiting
mm-hmm.
for my last check, and then all of a sudden I'm hit with something else, and I was like, this is a tough decision for me to make.
It's a very tough decision because it makes it look like you decided to place judgment on yourself this way.
And they have me second-guessing myself. That's another thing.
Yes, exactly. And there's no reason for you to second-guess. You're a consummate professional. You're intelligent. You know your work. You are an ethical person. You would not have, you know, crossed swords with people. Also, if they didn't want anybody to see what they were doing, they just, you know, by trying to cover this up, by manipulating you into signing this, they just caused a whole problem for themselves, because now people can go in there and say, wait a minute, she didn't decide to do this. You asked her to do this. Why?
Mm-hmm. I think
Steve's right. You are being protected.
Say that again? I'm sorry.
I think Steve is right. You are being protected from these idiots.
Yeah, but they know they've done wrong, and they don't want to be caught, but now their hand's in the cookie jar, and they're saying, oh, no, our hand's not in the cookie jar. She, you know,
right.
We gave her a cookie, and she left.
Yeah, but now they want to blackmail me. They want to hold
yes,
my sick times that I have worked 10 years and saved up for.
Yeah, if you don't sign the waiver, you don't get what's entitled to you.
Right.
And that's just, oh my gosh, you know. Yeah, talk to the legal department, because I think that, you know, somebody's going to start to say, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't make sense. It's all for, oh, my gosh, you know, I'm sorry this has happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I really feel like, wow, you don't need to be around these people. You couldn't. I don't think you could continue to do your job anyway, because they would tie your hands. If you were there, they'd say, by the way, we've changed policy. This is what we're doing. And you'd say, well, wait a minute. How can I do that? Do you have any conscious plan to go out and get another job?
Well, right now, my plan was to relax, because I haven't had a good vacation in 3 years.
Good.
So I was just relaxing, doing some church, you know, work at my
mm-hmm.
church, and
mm-hmm.
I do plan on going back out looking with another agency or even the private sector.
Mm-hmm.
But I just wanted to relax for now and
well,
spend, you know,
what
spend
I,
time
what
with.
I asked that because I felt that, you know, I didn't want to tell you what to do, but I thought take a few months off.
Mm-hmm.
And then something is going to come across the radar for you, and you'll say, oh, that looks interesting, and you'll
mm-hmm.
investigate it, because I see you, you know, gainfully employed again, but in a really, really, truly satisfying, fulfilling way, much more so than this ever was, even for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
You're the kind of person that can make positive. You're a very positive person, so you can make a situation fulfilling even if it has a lot of rules and regulations. But I see you doing something that will be probably the most fulfilling thing you've ever done as far as a job that's serving people or helping people come this summer. So that's why I say you're going to hear that these other people have fallen on their faces. And, you know, it's not like you're going to gloat and say, well, they deserved it. But
mm-hmm.
it will be, you know, it will be justice of a sort.
Well, I just have one more question. I'm sorry. If they ask me to come back.
Yeah, and I think they will. That was my next point I was going to make, is I think they will ask you to come back.
Then I should since they're asking for things in writing from me, I should get things written, you know, in writing from them, correct?
Absolutely. a prenuptial agreement.
Exactly.
Because
to protect
if
my
they
job.
Ask you to
I just
come
want
to
do, I just want to do 10 more years, and then I could retire. That's all
if
I want
to
do.
If they ask you to come back, number one, make sure that you don't have to answer to the same people. And number two, it would be even better if those people did fall on their face and they were gone altogether. Then the coast
right.
would be clear for you to go back.
Mm-hmm. And it's
but
so
I think
funny
there will
because
be an offer.
Cause it's so funny because the one person that started this all was a temp.
Yes.
Mm. He wasn't even a permanent person or a provisional. It was a temp.
Well,
wow.
Did you ever see the movie? Did you ever see the movie All About Eve with Betty Davis
yes.
years ago?
Mm-hmm.
It's like that. The understudy really wanted her role,
mm-hmm.
and the understudy got it.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful
so
what you wish for, again, right?
You have another question, Valencia?
I do. I have actually someone text in a question, and
okay.
this is the texter's name is Tony.
Mm-hmm.
And he says he has been working hard and receiving very little. What do you feel for him in this scenario? I know it's kind of vague, but I, you know, it's a text.
That's okay that it's vague because energy is energy, and it'll
mm-hmm.
fill itself in as a complete story. This person is a very meticulous, very thorough person who you can trust to do very detailed and complex work if you give that person the opportunity to do it. Very conscientious, high ethics, is not
mm-hmm.
lazy, is not a complainer,
mm-hmm.
but has finally reached the limit of, again, another person who's being drained. They're taking, you know, they're using the person like a pack mule. You know, they,
mm-hmm.
they get all the work out of them, but they don't give them the correct compensation, and they're not giving him an intelligent level and an intelligent enough level of work to do. They're underutilizing this person. They're foolish because they should take a look at their workers. They should really individually look at what they're doing. I don't
mm-hmm.
care if it's a small group or a large group. They need to, you know, whoever he's working with needs to look at him and really assess him very objectively and say, he's really got a lot to offer, because I feel like he really does. So what is going to happen here is I don't see any miraculous transformation or the light bulb going on over the heads of other people who may be involved here as supervisors or whatever capacity they have of power. I think he's actually, you know, easier said than done, but I think he's going to be leaving there. His talents aren't being appreciated. It's like the biblical saying of don't hide your light under a bushel. Well, they're hiding his light for him.
Here, take this bushel, put it over your head.
Yeah, so they're saying, just go off and do this work. And he's really duty bound. I mean, he's the kind of guy that he will go the extra mile. But they don't care.
Wow. No.
They don't care.
That's a shame.
But I think he's going to be changing. You know, that's not going to be continuing past the midpoint of the year.
Okay, so he is going to come into himself?
He's going to come into himself in the sense of another opportunity is going to present itself as well. There might be that part of him that says, well, I should just stick with what I know, the tried and true, and I shouldn't rock the boat. But I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to play devil's advocate and say, go ahead and rock it a little bit. You know,
rock that sucker.
If you've got this other opportunity, at least investigate it.
Yeah.
At least look it over. Don't just pass it by saying, well, I'm busy doing what I'm doing. Because these people will, you know, they'll use you as the hand servant forever. And you're not somebody's butler.
Right. And I think so many of us kind of do that. It's like, I'll stick with the devil I know.
Yes, exactly. Perfect.
And not go with the devil I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else for Tony Texter?
No, but I just thank him for, you know, taking the time and the interest to ask. I think the one thing too is how this reflects on his own personal and home life.
I think Aurelia has a I think Aurelia has a question. Another question.
Okay, go ahead.
Will I ever see a relationship? Because I don't seem to see that.
You don't want to just see it. You might want to be in one. You don't want to just view relationships. Oh, look at that one. And look at that one.
Will you ever see a relationship? Loaded question. Will you see one or will you be in one?
Yeah.
I'd be in one.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a real committed response, but I believe what I'm saying. Absolutely. Here we go. Contrary to the past, and I'm not going to go over anybody's checkered past, but this time that I'm seeing that you approach, and it's not, I think it's sort of into the next year. Sorry, but next year we'll be here before we'll blink and it'll be here.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that what I'm seeing when you ask that question, what immediately came to mind was like, oh, two peas in a pod rather than opposites, two people who are very similar. And I'm thinking, isn't that interesting? It's the kind of thing where the two people see the people together and thinking like, wow, they've been together so long, they actually look like one another. You know how they say people look like their animals or their dogs look like them. I hope I look like my dog because he's better looking than I am.
Oh, no. Know anybody. Know everybody. He's a cutie.
So I think that what we're seeing here for, you know, what I'm looking at here is I see this person, I see this a gentleman, and he is a gentleman. That's not just a cliche word. And I think that he's very, he walks softly and carries a big stick. And that's not, I'm not referring to anything sexually either.
Jeez.
I'm referring to the fact that he is a gentle person who really very well can defend himself and stand up for himself. He's not in Tony's position of having to be overworked and underutilized. He's a good, solid person, but he listens. He's a listener. He's compassionate. He would be concerned about, in a partnership, about the partner's welfare and well-being. He would defer to the partner first and say, how do you feel? What's going on today? He doesn't wait for you to have to give him the cue, you know, and he doesn't take anything for granted. He doesn't. So I really feel like there's a person out there, and it's just a matter of, when the two ships meet and don't pass in the night, I don't think they will. I think they'll, I really think
they'll dock at the same time.
Yep. Yes, they will. And I feel like it's two peas in a pod. Like I said, the familiarity is so strong that people say, you mean you've only known each other a year? And they're saying, you act like you've known each other all your lives. Well, yeah, because energetically, you kind of, if you can use this word, destined to meet each other. So, yeah, there's somebody, definitely.
Oh, great.
I like that.
Great.
I love that. Congratulations. Bible cuffs.
So do I get invited to the wedding?
Sure. If there's one, you're there. You will be
okay.
Front row.
Mazel tov.
All right, Valencia.
Okay. I'm being happy. I'm happy.
I think that's
a great answer to a great question.
And Valencia, I've got something for you.
Oh, you do?
Suddenly she's quiet.
no, oops.
Opportunity for your daughter coming up just at the end of the school year into the beginning of the summer that is a creative opportunity that will knock her socks off.
Really?
Yeah, and she being a very strong, fiery person, she
mm-hmm.
will be at first like, I want that, and then being who she is, she,
uh-huh.
a week later, like, I don't know if I can do it.
You got her down.
and you're there going, but I thought you were, it's like, oh, great. Remember,
right.
Sagittarians are mutable signs.
Uh-huh.
Mutable
there.
Signs change their minds a lot.
There you
I'm
go.
A mutable sign. But they're very adaptable.
Stubborn mules or lovely ponies.
Yes.
Or show ponies.
But they're very adaptable.
Yeah. Good.
But this is a golden opportunity, so it's okay to push her a little when she gets cold feet.
Okay.
Because at first she'll be like, I'm doing it. I don't know if I can do it. And you're saying, oh, no, we already signed the papers. We already made that. You had this discussion. You're doing it.
Yeah.
And she'll be glad that, you know, she'll be good. Yeah, it's good.
She'll be
it's
glad
really
she did
good.
It. Oh,
yeah.
Good. Thank you, Steve.
Yeah. That just came right in out of left field, and I just thought, oh, I can see her.
Wow.
I can really
well,
see her.
So
I can
know,
actually.
You know, it's, you can
what?
Almost hear her because she's like, literally 50 steps away from me. She just walked in. She just walked when you started saying that. I turned around. I was like, oh, hi.
That's probably why it came in so strongly, because she was coming in.
Yeah.
She was physically approaching because I felt it, like, come toward me, like toward the left side of my head. That's how I picked up on it.
Oh, my God. And she's on my left side.
Okay.
She's to my left right now. That
yeah,
is very cool.
Okay.
All right. That was excellent.
Well, Steve, I think I just want to say, again, lots of fun. We covered a whole lot of stuff. And I
yeah,
hope
we,
I listened.
We got our military.
I know.
I got my onks out at the beginning. I was able to complain a little bit about the world.
There you go. About the man.
Yeah,
we talked about
exactly.
the man.
Yep.
But it's always fun. I always love talking to you. I always feel so lifted up. Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Oh.
Something on my phone, chirping birds. I
didn't hear
it
on this
bird.
One, so.
I get it.
I didn't hear it, and I didn't see the floating sex dolls either.
It's our time. Oh, poor lady. Anyway,
oh, I know.
I'm going to think about that like for a very long time because it's just the most bizarre story I've ever heard.
It really
and
is.
It has,
like something out of a David Lynch movie or something.
Yeah. And it has so many layers to it. You know what? That could be a movie.
Mm-hmm.
That really could be a movie. But anyway, Steve, I love having you on. I always love having you on. Even when you're not on the show, I love talking to you, hanging out with you.
Thank you. Well, I love
you.
Talking to you, too.
Yeah. And I'm glad our listeners got to ask some questions and get some, you know, really good insights and just, you know, feel more positive about their situations. And I think that's what it's about. You know, people
that's,
want answers
that's the key.
To questions, and I think they want to feel better or mm-hmm. just more positive about moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, and you do that so well. You really, you know, in giving answers, you show us that there, that the art of moving forward is a good thing to do, no matter what you're trying to do.
Right, even if you've stumbled miserably, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and, you know, the show is called You, the Best Invention Ever. And, Steve, you are the best invention ever.
And so are you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And
so
really
if you,
you
could give
too?
Us, yeah.
And Stacey and everybody that called in, and Tony, who it remains a text identity.
That's right. I thought that was cool. We got a text in.
Good.
And for a text, a lot of information, which I thought, you know, I always think is amazing how you can, you know, pick up energy from people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's a really good, great thing to know, for us to know, is that no matter how you communicate, there's energy behind that.
There is. It's all energy. It is.
Mm-hmm. So on that note, Steve, I think our time is up.
Well, thank
it always
you very
goes
much
so
for having
fast.
Me on.
Always. And we'll have to have you back again and see
I'll
what we can
make an appearance.
Yeah. See what we can, you know, rant on.
Oh, and guess what? We saved the soaps. All that stuff I was doing last year with the soaps. They're going on the internet. They're coming back.
Excellent. That's really cool. Cause
I just wanted to put a plug in for that.
That was such an amazing vehicle for young actors.
Yeah, it was. And so there will be, they'll be broadcasting and producing out of Stamford, Connecticut. But it will put
really?
New York crews back into work, which is good.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep. So.
And you were a huge catalyst for this.
Yeah.
Huge.
So thank you again, and I look forward to talking to you.
Huge.
Thank you so much.
You're very
right.
Welcome. Thank you.
You're
yes.
welcome. Okay, Steve. All right, you best invention listeners, that's it for today, and thank you. Do something positive with your week. And I won't see you before Valentine's Day, but I send you a big kiss, a big chocolate kiss, because I'm very chocolate, a big chocolate kiss and hug. And I hope you love you first and then love someone else. All right. Later. Love you much.
Okay. And before we completely, totally sign out, I just want to let you know that coming up on the next few shows, Wednesday, we're going to have Angela Spivey and Dwayne Harvey. And she was nominated for 4 Stellar Awards. And she's going to be on the show to tell us what the outcome was. Then we're going to have Dr. Deborah Williams on the show. She is a former Mrs. America. And she also runs and owns Her Game 2, which is the only licensed NBA merchandiser. And she's going to come on the show to tell us about All-Star, the basketball NBA All-Star Weekend and the activities going forward with them and what the NBA Wives are doing. So it's going to be exciting. It's going to be great. You, the Best Invention Ever, will be back next month with this amazing woman, and her name is Sandy Bass. She is a supermodel, to say the least. And she has so many different activities and commitments that she's involved with. So we're just going to be action-packed because we got a lot going on. We may have some surprises for you. So please, please keep tuning in to us because we're always going to have something just for you. Thank you.
Welcome to You, the Best Invention Ever, featuring host Valencia Lyle Saunders. A show dedicated to inspiring you to invent something incredible, your life.